at the ring, time for Lemon Abner, brought to you by the makers of Alka-Seltzer. You know, friends, when you don't feel good, you're certainly not enjoying life as you should. Take right now. I'll just bet some folks aren't feeling quite up to the mark. For instance, maybe a touch of indigestion is making you uncomfortable. Well, I hope this isn't the case with you, but if it is, be wise, alkalize with Alka-Seltzer for your acid-upset stomach. Alka-Seltzer is always extra effective, extra fast. So on occasions when acid indigestion comes your way, reach for the relief you'll find in Alka-Seltzer. To be safe, ask your druggist for two economical 60-cent packages. This extra package of Alka-Seltzer will come in handy when you look and find the first one empty. Now let's see what's going on down in Pine Ridge. Well, as we look in on the little community today, we find Lum and Abner sitting in the courtroom waiting for today's action in their trial. Listen.
Well, why don't we get started now? What in the world are we waiting for anyway?
I don't know. I think the judge is late this morning.
Well, I wish you'd hurry up and get here. I don't want to spend the rest of my life sitting in this courtroom.
No.
Fact is, I ought to be home right this minute, to be honest about it, helping Elizabeth.
Helping Elizabeth? What's she doing?
Well, she's busting up that new ground we got up there, getting ready to plant it, you know, and I just ought to be there.
Oh, you ought to be there to help her. I'm glad to hear you say that, Abner. I'm glad to know that you're thinking about Elizabeth and knowing that you ought to help her.
Oh, I always think about it. Well, now, wait a minute. I wasn't aiming on doing none of the plowing.
Well, what do you want to be back there for?
Well, I just thought I'd sort of sit there on the fence and direct her, you know. She don't know too much about it, Mom.
Well, I thought she was uncommonly good at plowing.
Well, she's good if I'm there to watch her, you know. See, I've learned her everything she knows. She ought to be good. I've sat there with a busting headache and a hopscotch mania time pointing out that woman when she weren't plowing her old straight. You just got to watch him. That's all there to it. She gets up there, that young Santa mule, starts down through that new ground. She's going to hang that plow on the roof and throw herself right out of the field shore of the world.
But she plows an uncommonly straight road, though.
She does now, but she never at first. You ought to have seen some of the roads she used to plow.
I know, and she don't get into the fence corners like she ought to.
Well, I know, but she does if I'm there to watch her. I just say, Elizabeth, come in closer to that plow. Make your turns closer to the fence. And she'll do it. She'll do it. She stand there and make her do it. Fact is, if she don't do it, I just get you up to the plow. I'm plowing myself.
Well, you're Josh. You wouldn't do that.
I will if that's the way to learn her. I'm sure how to get there cold.
Jeez, I wish they'd hurry up. Nervous and jumpy as a rabbit's nose. I've heard a rumor that the judge had sort of a nervous breakdown or something like that himself on account of the trouble that he's giving.
Who's giving?
Well, mostly you, I think. All the time hollering out in court when you ain't supposed to and all that. If you watch that today.
Well, now, Lum, I seen him get mad at you a couple of times, too. Or disgusted, I reckon he's called.
Well, I think that was just because he seen how much law I knowed and was kind of jealous of me. I don't think he was actually mad at me.
Well, I don't know whether he was mad at you or not, but I sure was yesterday when you handed that pearl over to the clerk. I'll tell you that.
I had to do that. The judge made me do it. You seen what happened.
Yeah, but you let Squire Skimp Lordy trick you into showing him that pearl. That's what you done.
I couldn't help that. Nothing else I could do.
Well, Mr. Walford said you oughtn't to let him do that. Said it was a horrible mistake.
What does Walford know about it? I think he's hearing nothing. He's asleep more than likely.
No, I think he's reading that little magazine, that Racing Forms, again.
You know, think if the judge is mad at anybody, I think it's our lawyer.
Mr. Walford?
I'm scared we ain't the big friends that Walford tried to make out they were.
No. Well, you think we've got any chance at all of winning this trial?
Well, I don't know. If things get to looking too bad, I might have to take over myself.
No, Dogget, I hope things don't get that bad.
Oh, there comes the judge. Now we can get...
Oh, that old pokey.
You better wake up, Walford.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Mr. Walford, wake up.
Oh, yes, yes.
They're about ready to start.
Good. Are they all at the gate?
Huh?
I've got two across and going in.
Who's that? Another spy's witness they're going to drag in here?
No, that's us. That was the principal litigant I once defended in the famous trial, Miss Glory versus Smith. Undoubtedly, you heard of it.
I don't believe I have. Oh, gravel.
Judge Fowler presiding. We will continue with the joint case of M.K. Stimp versus Edwards and Peabody and Milford Spears versus Edwards and Peabody. Mr. Dowell, do you have any more witnesses to present?
Yes, Your Honor. We would like to call Mr. Abner Peabody.
Hmm?
Yes,
ma'am,
we'll be right into the room.
Oh, go ahead. Get up there, Abner. But be careful. Don't let him trip you.
You are a fine one to be telling me that.
Come, Mr. Peabody. I've put up with all the nonsense I'm going to.
Hurry up.
I'm coming.
Watch out. There's a step there.
Pick him up. Oh, no. I ought to put a file up there. I bought my skin. There's something wonderful. Look there, Judge.
Good. Now take the stand.
Oh.
You solemnly swear that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and none but the truth.
Ah.
You do.
I do.
State your name.
Abner Peabody. Abner Finley Peabody. Finley was a family name on my mama's side.
All right, counsel. You may examine the witness.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Well, much obliged, Judge. Show you right where I got hurt. Let me get my pants leg rolled up.
I'm not interested in that.
I thought you was going to examine me.
It is not a medical examination.
It might be a good idea. Now get on with the testimony.
Mr. Peabody, you are one of the owners of the Meadowlark Restaurant in Pine Ridge, are you not?
Yes, sir. Me and Lom's in partnership.
You heard the testimony given yesterday by your partner regarding the transaction involving the sale of oysters to Mr. M.K. Skimp. Did you not?
Well, if you come over at again, I believe I jumped the track back there, Summer.
Did you hear what Mr. Edwards said on the witness stand yesterday?
Oh, yeah. Weren't that terrible? He ought to be bored for the temple.
I've got to tell you about you. I said there's going to be order in this court. And let me remind the defendant that we have ways of dealing with those who violate the dignity of the court.
Your Honor, you have no further trouble from the defendant.
Proceed.
Mr. Peabody, you said that you heard the testimony given by your partner. Well, were you present at the time of the transaction described by him?
I mean the ordering of oysters by Mr. Skip.
Oh, yes. Don't holler at me like that.
The fact is, I was the one that served the oysters to him and Grandpap. See, I'm the head waiter.
I see.
The soup jockey.
Yes. Now,
that's what they call a waiter, soup jockey.
Yes, well, that's fine. Now then, Mr. Peabody, you say that you are the one who served the oysters.
Yes, sir. Slapped them right down on the counter. Set a plate of them in front of Squire and a plate in front of Grandpap.
Now, just a minute. Who is the person you refer to as Grandpap?
Why, he's one of the varmints that's lawsuiting us. That old Billy Goat sitting right over there.
Jiminy, I'll take.
In other words, you mean the plaintiff, Milford Spears.
Why, natural. That's his name.
And the man you refer to as Squire is that M.K. Skimp?
Why, of course he is. Law me, for a fellow that's supposed to be trying this case, you don't know much about it.
The witness will please answer the questions as briefly as possible and refrain from making comments.
Oh, excuse me.
Yes, Judgeship.
Now, you say that you served oysters to both Mr. Skimp and Mr. Spears.
Yes. Friday, now you're getting it straight, bud. See, Grandpap never wanted them. He wanted a ham sandwich or a Lumberger or something, but Squire just insisted that he get oysters.
But in other words, the whole thing was Mr. Skimp's idea. Is that right?
Oh, yes. All the room.
Then the idea of ordering the oysters was entirely Mr. Skimp's idea. Is that correct? Yeah. Oh, Grandpap never even know how to eat them. He sat there trying to spear them with his knife. Taste them all over his plate till I hand him a spoon. Oh, it was comical.
Now, listen here, you little son of a naked stool pigeon. I forgot more about eating than you will ever know.
Yes,
order, order! This boss will tolerate absolutely no more nonsense. One more outburst, and I'll throw the whole case out of court.
Now, see there, Grandpap?
Oh, go get yourself lost.
What did I ever do to deserve this? Proceed with the case, Jim Chan.
All right, Mr. Hoover. You have testified that Mr. Smith was the one who was solely responsible for ordering the oysters. Did I? I know this. Never even known all them big words. And Mr. Smith ordered the oysters with full intention to pay. Now, is that right?
I reckon so.
And did he not, in fact, make an honest effort to pay for them?
Yeah, see, Lom wouldn't take it.
But he did offer the money.
Yeah. But Lom said afterwards, said he was too smart for Squire. Said if he'd have taken the money, why, then the pearl would have blown to Squire.
I object. I ask that the witness's last statement be stricken from the record. Objection overruled.
In other words, Mr. Peabody, your partner, Mr. Edwards, recognized that Mr. Skimp had a legitimate claim to the pearl. And Mr. Edwards was forced to contrive some means of preventing Mr. Smith from obtaining what was rightfully his.
Objection sustained.
All right. Just one more question in, and I'll be through.
Good.
Mr. Peabody, I have here an object which I want you to look for.
Yeah, I'll be glad to show me.
Have you ever seen this before?
I don't know. I can't see it in your hand, man. Here, let me take it.
All right.
Yeah.
Now then, can you tell me what it is?
You're dead blame right I can. That's me and Lom's pearl.
But here, you can't do it. You can't keep it.
Who says I can't? Possession is 9/10 to the point of the law.
Mr. Peabody, you're in contempt.
I don't care where I am. I've got our pearl back, and it ain't no sex man in this courtroom big enough to get my fist out of my overhaul fastball.
Well, looks like Abner's trying to use the pocket veto. Friends, when you wake up some morning feeling like you wish the night before had never happened to you, there's nothing quite like Alka-Seltzer for clearing up that unpleasant morning aftertaste and for settling an upset, jittery stomach. The minute you get up, take Alka-Seltzer and see how fast, effective, and pleasant is the relief you can get. Alka-Seltzer costs so little, can do so much. You'll never know how much until you try it yourself. And when you buy Alka-Seltzer, ask your druggist for an extra package. Then you'll always be ready to profit by Alka-Seltzer's speedy action. You see, with an extra package on the shelf, you can always help yourself. Now this is Dean Baker saying good health to you all. Be sure to join us again on our next regular visit down in Pine Ridge.